Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Want to mention again that the zone's going to be on location. Corey Anderson, are you excited about this, Nate? That there's going to be some interesting things going on in the zone. Cryo, an appearance by Corey Anderson that's going to be videoed and posted on Facebook for everyone's viewing pleasure.
Oh, boy.
I think it's a crime.
Corey in the cryo.
It should be me, not him.
Is he so
volunteering?
Do you get naked when you get in those things?
Why is that the first thing
well,
that you think about or ask?
He's going to have a shirt off.
Why is that? Why do you want to know that?
He just said they're going to shoot a video of it, and that's the question you asked?
Yeah, like, are we going to get to see Corey with a shirt off or what?
My point is ruined now. My point
in the zone,
that
cryo.
Corey doesn't do anything to get, you know, sore or tired.
First 10 guests will receive one free freeze, heat, or squeeze, an 810 special offer, a six-pack for $99, interchangeable between cryo, infrared, and compression. Giving away a whole bunch of stuff.
That's
drawings
awesome.
For a free physical therapy session with Dr. Angie.
Oh, boy.
What about one free Skin Medica chemical peel with Tina? Oh, Tina. One free 30-minute personal training session with Megan. One free body sculpting InstaSculpt treatment with Kim. It says one free back rub with Curtis.
Wow.
No, I'm sorry. That was That was not part of this remote. I'm sorry. I apologize. That was
a different email.
But also, every guest will leave with a lucky bamboo plant representing strength and abundance, much like Jake Pounders.
Right.
He represents strength and abundance. And they have several Chiefs pictures to give away. So go out to In the Zone Cryo. More information, go to inthezonecryo.com and find out the question that Nate wants to know about Corey wearing clothes in the cryo. I don't know. Let's talk to John Sunbold and see if we could fix
if he's still on the phone, hopefully.
John, we apologize. John, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning, fellas. I'm doing great. I'm doing great. You know, it's always good to back up Greg Gurley to come on. And, just to back him up.
Do you like...
Steven, remember, keep your socks on in that cryo thing. Just keep your socks on.
That's exactly
just
right.
Socks.
That's
just
right.
Ask Antonio Brown.
Do you like it when Greg Gurley says nice things about you, or does it irritate you? How do you respond to that?
No, Greg's awesome. I miss the old Big 12 days of seeing those guys. You know, Greg and the rest of the Kansas contention. I miss all that. You know, that was fun. The rivalry was great, and you know, you just miss seeing familiar faces that we don't now get to see because, you know, we're down in the southeast part of the country.
Well, he tells me you were a heck of a player, and so I'm going to take his word.
And you know, that would have been a really, we missed it. It was canceled, but I think that would have been a hell of a game this year between Mizzou and Kansas had it happened at Sprint Center, John.
It would have been. I mean, it'd been fun. The environment would have been crazy. And Missouri's very good, and I think Kansas is good. I think they've gotten better than what they would have been probably in December. So I would have given the advantage to my Tigers, but I probably always would. But, yeah, that'd be fun. Maybe they'll match up when they get to tournament time over in Indianapolis, which I guess where all the games are going to be played. Another good idea for the NCAA that put everybody in the same area and get it done that way.
Okay, we have John Sunbold, and I enjoyed watching the game last night with you as color commentator. You were at home calling the game, so let's start there. How has that experience been, calling games from a remote location?
So I guess it was different when we first started. The great thing that the SEC did many years ago, they made all the schools build out a control room, and obviously, for costs, many of the schools didn't want to do it. It cost probably $5 million to build it out. But the SEC said, hey, we send you $40 million or $40 million plus. We need you to do this. And it took away a lot of, because of all the games they wanted to put on, it took away a lot of trucks that had to go to all these places. So the control rooms are already there. When they decided we'd do it from our house, you know, they sent me two big old buckets of stuff, and I got on a FaceTime with some engineer in Bristol, Connecticut, and I said, which plug A to plug B to plug C? And it's been different. I've had one game on the road. Kentucky, when you do a Kentucky game, you usually go there because their arena's downtown, away from their campus. As a broadcaster, being at a game, you see much more. If I was at a game, I rarely look at my monitor. I mean, I'm watching the game. I know what you guys are seeing on TV. But when I'm at home, I'm like you all. I'm really watching one angle. Now, I have a bigger monitor, but they'll in my computer that they sent, they'll have two or three different camera angles for me, but they're really hard to see. They're too small. It's basically like a Zoom broadcast. So, you know, in the corner, I can put Tom Hart, who I worked with last night. I can maybe make him a little larger so that if he points a finger to me to take it to commercial or vice versa. Our stat guy last night was in Atlanta. He may hold up some numbers or different stuff. So, you know, we've gotten used to it. I'll say this. Most people don't know we're at home until people, you know, announce we're at home and until they put us on TV. In December, we weren't on TV. They didn't really show us yet because they hadn't figured out how to do all that. So I did an LSU game, and a buddy of mine in Baton Rouge, it was a 6 o'clock game, and he texted me at 6:20, said, hey, I didn't know you were in town. Let's go have a drink afterwards. And I said, no, I'm in my basement. So even if I'm doing a Mizzou game, you know, I'm in my basement. But it's worked out well. And for a guy like me, the travel is the hardest part, is, you know, when we don't do it this way. So I get done, I unplug all the boxes and stuff, shut everything down, and I walk up the stairs, and I'm, you know, having dinner or doing something else. It's kind of easy.
Yeah, that's not too bad. John Sunbull joins us. He called the win by Mizzou last night over South Carolina. Okay, so Mizzou had a really good non-con, had the bad beat to Tennessee, where really that was not a game, that was not a competitive game at all. And then the weird loss to Mississippi State, where they were in control early in the second half and they just absolutely collapsed. And so that left some fans wondering, okay, what is this Mizzou team now? They're 1-2 in conference play, but after some time off, they have bounced back with back-to-back impressive wins at Texas A&M and at South Carolina, and that pushes them above 500 in the conference. So I guess I ask you now, you know, how good is Mizzou? There have been a couple of performances that have left you scratching your head, but the last two games certainly have looked very, very good, especially Jeremiah Tillman.
Yeah, Stephen, I'm always kind of skeptical of any team I watch. I'm not one of those over-positive guys that is going to jump up and down by any team, but, you know, I watched that Mississippi State game. I was in Kentucky, so it was after our game, so in the hotel room, I'm watching, and it was probably the best first half Missouri played, and then the worst first half, or worst second half they'd ever played. You know, they're up 14, and they lose by 15 in one half, and you just almost go, boy, what was that? But then they had two games postponed, so you get 11 days off, and talking to Consuel Martin, because I had the A&M game, their next game, and so we Zoom, get a Zoom link with the coaches. And Consuel, I mean, he's pretty positive. He just said, I think it was positive for us to have those days off. And they go down to A&M, and good teams find ways to win, not just one way. So they go to A&M, and they just grinded out A&M the second half. And A&M is a grind-out team, which they do that to other teams. And then you come back, and you play a pretty good South Carolina team last night and really led the whole way defensively. Missouri was good. Tillman's been great. But Consuel seems to now be getting guys production. Pickett was great against A&M. He was good last night. The Bugs kid off the bench had 19 minutes last night, 6 points, 4 assists. Finally, Mark Smith started making jump shots. And he's probably the guy. We know Drew Smith is solid. We know Pinson kind of makes him go. But if Mark Smith makes 3 or 4 threes and stretches the defense, then Tillman and Kobe Brown guys can do some work inside. So they've got a lot of weapons offensively. We know defensively they're good. So, yeah, they've got a chance. I mean, the league is up and down. It's an odd year. I mean, even, you know, when you watch Big 12 or SEC, it's just an odd year because of cancellations, because of COVID, because of guys' limited practice hours, different things. We saw Tennessee beat Missouri first SEC game, and I thought Tennessee's a world beater. You know, last night Tennessee lost by 26 to Florida. I mean, LSU lost by 30 at home to Alabama, which Alabama's playing great. There's just a lot of strangeness going on. I think coaches are just trying to get a pulse on everything game by game and hope their team's ready. You know, there are no road games because you go to these places and there's not many, very many people allowed in these arenas. So you're seeing a lot of road teams win. I know in the league I cover, the SEC, there's a lot of road teams that are winning. And really, there'll be a separation in the next month to see which teams want to play on, you know, which ones are kind of tired of playing that are on the borderline that just maybe mentally check out. The coaches won't, but kids can check out. And we'll see the ones that are excited to think, hey, they got a chance to either win their conference tournament or get in the big dance and do some damage. It's the first time I saw since 1961, where I think it was Duke, Carolina, Kentucky weren't ranked in the top 25. So the Big Blue, I mean, some of those, you know, the big dogs are kind of lagging. And so there are a lot of schools that think, hey, it's our opportunity to win.
Hey, you referenced that Alabama team and their big win last night. They're 7-0 in the SEC, and I'll confess, I haven't really watched them this year. How good do you think they really are?
So last night I turned it on after my game was over, and they're at LSU, and LSU is a powerhouse with dudes that can score. And Alabama made 23 threes.
Wow.
I mean, they just can shoot the lights out, and they defend. I mean, they were at LSU and just blitzed them. So they've got a kid who's a senior, probably a fifth-year senior, John Petty. He made 8 threes. When he gets hot, he's good. They got a guard named Quinterly, last name. He's a transfer from Villanova. He was 6-7 from three-point land. They have a five-star freshman, McDonald's All-American, Joshua Primo. He hit 6 threes. They are, right now, they're just on a roll. And obviously that can come and go if you shoot that many threes. But defensively, they're good. I think they've probably been the surprise. Last year, they were good. There was a lot there, but a couple guys left. One went to the NBA. A couple guys transferred. But, yeah, they might be the surprise just because they're blitzing everybody they play. They're jumping on them early. They're knocking in threes, and they've had leads of 20-5, 20-6, all kinds of stuff. It's been fun to watch.
John, what's been the key for Jeremiah Tillman's excellent play? He had 19 points, 10 boards, 3 blocks, 3 steals, 2 assists. He was really, really good against Arkansas. We've seen, I think, what, 3 of his last 4 games have been double-doubles. What's been the key for him finally realizing this potential on a more consistent basis than in past years?
Yeah, I think Konzo Martin has said it best. He's just mature. He's matured over the years. I think the coaches know how they want to use him. And when I say that, Konzo Martin would say this. Jeremiah doesn't love to just be a post player. Like, he doesn't love to just stand on the low block and catch a ball. He's not comfortable. And that's odd to say because he's 6'10". He's always been on the low block. So they'll mix up some stuff. Pick and roll, pick and pop, put him on the block and then away from it. And they don't put all the pressure on him to be the guy. They just want 4 or 5 minute stretches where he can dominate. Just be, he's a physical player, great athlete, can run rim to rim. But personality-wise, he's not the alpha male guy that says, I have to have the ball, which the coaches have always wanted him, demand the ball. But he's not that way. So they've figured out how to use him in a way that maybe makes him more comfortable offensively. And so what we've seen the last 2 games, and those are the 2 I've seen because I did them, you know, he's patient in a double team. He finds cutters passing. He drop steps, dunks on guys. Last night, like I said, he had 3 blocks, 3 steals. He just looks comfortable. And sometimes that's when you're 22 or 23 years old. You've been around. You've gone through it all. He stays out of foul trouble, doesn't get all the silly fouls he used to get. So, you know, again, Konzo Martin and his coaching staff would say, we're not asking him to get us 25 points a night. But they want him to have minutes and stretches where he can dominate. dominate because he is a force. And in our league, there's not a lot of big dudes that are that great inside, so probably that puts an advantage to Missouri when Tillman's playing almost anybody.
John, we got about a minute left. Real quick, Tennessee's up next, and we know how the first game went. What does Mizzou have to do to be more competitive against Tennessee on Saturday night?
Yeah, well, the worst part was Tennessee, I told you last night, got just killed by Florida, which was surprising. Tennessee's good because defensively, Rick Barnes, they're just good. They got great guards that are quick. They've got big dudes that are quick. They're not a powerful team inside, but they're quick. Missouri's got to be patient. Tennessee's going to come out and try to redeem what they did last night. It was just disastrous. And when I say they're good defensively, that makes them even better offensively because they have to go against each other in practice. And I talk about Tennessee. They've got great guards that come off the bench, 2 5-star kids, freshmen that come off the bench. You know what? Missouri's got to do what they did last night. They've got to contain them early defensively like they did South Carolina. They didn't let the guards get going last night, Cushnard or Lawson for South Carolina. If they can do the same to Tennessee, minimize what the guards are doing, the damage-wise, and make some of their big score, then all of a sudden it becomes a game that's more advantageous for the Tigers. And I think they'll have a chance. But I do, you know, Tennessee, when you get beat like they got beat last night by 26, they're not going to be happy, and they're going to be in their home building. So it'll be a tough one for Mizzou, but if they could get that one, they've got a chance then to finish in the top two or three of the league and maybe win the league if you go to Tennessee and win.
And finally, what will the score be between the Chiefs and the Bills?
31-17, Chiefs.
31-17, that's a win and that's a cover. John Sundvold, thank you so much for the time. It's always great talking to you. We'll talk to you again very soon, I hope.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Talk to you later. Thanks.
I like that score. That's 2 touchdowns. Yeah. Write that down, Jake. Put that in your book! Now close the book and let's take a break. Back after this on WHB.
Okay. The book...